We begin the current daf in Sefer Tzitzit in daf Mem. We begin at the bottom of the Lamed Tes Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on the topic of the previous dafim, which was the topic of our previous Mishnah, which was one of the Tikkun Olam regarding the freeing of slaves. So our Gemara continues with halachas relating to the halachas of Shichur, which is about freeing a slave. So the Gemara tells us that Amr Reb Zeira, Amr Reb Chanina, Amr Reb Ashi, Amr Rebbe, says that Eved Shenasa Es Baschorin Bifnei Rabbi, if a slave marries a regular Jewish woman, a free Jewish woman, in front of the presence of his master, which an Eved is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. He's allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis. If the master is there by the ceremony, and he witnesses, and he doesn't protest when the slave is marrying a Bas Chayrin, so the Gemara continues at the top of Memon Alf, Yotz L'Cheres. So he goes out and he's a free man. And the reason is because if the master had not freed him, he wouldn't allow him to go ahead and marry a Bas Chayrin. So it's not what would be called in Lamdas Asiba, it's not the cause, but rather it's the simon. It's indicative that he's obviously a free man, and therefore he could go free because the master would, hello, what are you doing? How are you letting him marry this Bas Chayrin? Obviously, if he's vir and he's okay with the ceremony, must be because he had already freed him, and therefore he goes free. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yechon said to him, to the one that was saying over the statement that is Reb Zeira, who said it over the name Reb Chanina, that Kol kach yesh biyadcha, such a tradition you have of such a halacha in the name of Rebbe, that is, that the Eved could go free in such a case. But v'ani shayna, I learned the following halacha, the following statement from Tanoim, that says, ha'kesev shta erisin lishev chasai, if the master himself writes a document of engagement to his own maidservant, which is obviously also forbidden, same type of a situation, where he's a regular Yisrael, can't marry a shefcha, but he writes for her a shtar erison, which it says, Hariat mikudeshes li, you're engaged to me. And he goes and he gives it to her, and he wants to engage her. Remeir amim mikudeshes. Remeir says, she's engaged. Vachacham amim ain't a mikudeshes. The sages say that she's not mikudeshes, because what do you mean? She's a shefcha. Now, so, and as the Rishayim explain, seemingly that Remeir, the Rebbe would be like the majority opinion, that of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that you don't say this svara that you're saying over the name of Rebbe that, oh, wait a second, what are you doing? How are you being Makadosh to Shifcha? Oh, must be, if you're being Makadosh to Shifcha, you had already freed her. We don't say that. She's not Makadosh, she doesn't go free. So why is it any different than the halacha that you're saying over in the name of Rebbe, where the master is there by the ceremony and by the fact that he's not protesting, he's condoning it, and must be, he wouldn't violate an Isser to allow a slave to marry a Bas Chayrin, must be at a freedom. But we don't say that by his own self. When he's being Mekadesh HaShivcha, we don't say, oh, must be that he had already freed her, and that's why she's not Mekadeshes. So now the Gemara answers, Kidda Amar Rabba Barav Shila. The difference is, like the Gemara will shortly quote from Rabba Barav Shila, that Kishe Rabba Hanich Le Tefillin, like as we'll see later, that's coming to answer a different point, when the master himself puts the tefillin onto his slave, that's different than if the master is just watching that the slave himself puts on tefillin. So Hachinami, here also we have the same concept we could borrow. Kishe Rabbi Hasiya Isha. Here what we're talking about by the case that was said over the name of Rebbe, that he'll go free when he marries a Bas Chayrin, it's not just that the master is watching the ceremony and not protesting. He actually goes and marries off his slave to this Bas Chayrin. Oh, if he didn't free him, he wouldn't do an act of Isser through himself to go ahead and marry him off to a Bas Chayrin. So although, yes, the Chacham say that the master himself would try to marry a Shivcha, even though she's not freed, but that's because at least there's some type of his own personal pleasure that he would get out of it. So therefore it could be, yes, he's coming to violate the Isser, and that's why she's not Mukadeshes. But for his own slave to marry a different woman and him to be involved to marry him off, he wouldn't do that. If it was Aser, must be that he was already freed, and that's why the halacha was said over in the name of Rebbe, that the Eved is Yotzel Cheres, in contradistinction to the halacha of the Chacham, that she's not Mekadeshes, that's different because there he's at least getting something for himself. But actually, the Gemara asks it as a question. Umi Kamidi asks the Gemara, is there really such a thing? Dila Avdei Loi Mavid Le'Yisura. For his slave, you're saying he wouldn't do an Aser. What do you mean? He's marrying him off? If he's watching, okay, fine, no big deal. But if he's marrying him off, must be he freed him already, because he wouldn't actively do an Isser of marrying his slave to a Bas Chayrin, which is a forbidden type of a union. For you, of it, Isser, but for himself, he would do an Isser, but that's the halacha of the Chachamim, where they said that he's trying to marry his Shifcha, and the Chachamim say that no. We can't prove from there that she was freed. Maybe he didn't free her, but he's trying to do an Isser, and therefore she's not Mukadeshes. But why? If for his own slave he's not going to do an Isser, for himself he will do an Isser? So Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, no, Hacha Ma'iskinu, what we're talking about over here in the Machlekes Remeir and the Chachamim, which the Gemara had asked from, the Amar La, Tz'iboy v'hiskadshiboy, it's where he tells her that with this document that I'm giving you, I want you to go free with this document and to be engaged with this document. In other words, as Rashi explains, you're right. If he would tell his maidservant, I just want you to be Mukadeshes with this document, then yes, as we had said over in the name of Rebbe, for sure we would assume that he had already freed her. And therefore there's no contradiction between Rebbe and the Chachamim. But the case that the Chacham are discussing over here is where he doesn't tell her just Hiskachi boy. Because if you just been Mekadosh, how could you be Mekadosh? She's a Shivcha. Obviously, he had already freed her. But here it's talking about where he says, no, Hiskachi boy, Tzi'i boy v'Hiskachi boy. This document I'm giving you, you're a Shivcha. But I want you to be freed and engaged with that document. Where you wanted to work with two on two edges, one as a Shtar Shivcha, one as a Shtar Erisin. So now, he's removing the assumption that we had up until now, that, oh, if he's been Mekadosh, it must be she was freed, because he's explicitly saying that she was not freed, and he wants to free her with this document. So that's what we have the Machlekes Rav Meir v'Chacham. Rav Meir Sava, he holds, Yesh b'loshon hazeh. The terminology written in the document of Hariad Mekudeshesli, you can have over there a loshon shichur. In other words, when he's saying you're engaged to me, and when he's handing her this document that just says Hariad Mekudeshesli, he's telling her, look, I want you to be freed with it and engaged to me, it makes sense. Because when you're telling a maidservant Hariad Mekudeshesli, how are you doing that? She's a Shivcha. Must be you telling her, first of all, I want you to be fit to be Mekudesh to me. How is that? By being freed, and then to be Mekudesh with that. So the Remeir holds that she's Mekudeshes. Because engaging a Shifcha and you're telling her that you want to work as a Shechur makes sense, because how could you be Mekadosher? It must be that implicit in being Mekadosher is putting her in a situation where she could be Mekadoshes, which that she's freed. But Rabban Savri, in Beloshna Zel Loshan Shechur. On that, the Chacham disagree, and they say that no, it's not implicit. You can't read into the words I read Mekadoshesly a terminology of Shechur. And therefore, that's why in that case, they hold that it's not Mekadoshes. But the contradiction is resolved because definitely we would assume that a person would not be over an Isser, let's say to marry off his slave to a maid, to a free woman, or himself to marry his Shivcha. And therefore, if he just says Hareyat Mekudeshesli, then that's, and he say, I want to be Mekadosh to you, that would of course work because we would assume that she was already freed, like the case that we said from Rebbe. Here, where the Chacham say that she's not Mekudeshes is where he's explicitly telling us, implicitly, that you weren't Mekudeshes yet, you weren't Meshuchr yet. I want you to be Tz'iboy, V'Hiskachiboy. That's where they say, okay, so obviously you're telling us that she wasn't freed yet, and this Loshon Hareyat Mekudeshesli can't function as both. Now the Gemara says over a similar type of halacha, which is what we had referenced before, Amri Rishu ben Levi says, Eved Sheniach Tfilin B'fnei Rabbi, again, similar to the previous halacha that we said that, which actually we altered, and we said that the slave that gets married to a Bas Chorin in front of his master, which we said, no, has to mean not just that it was in front of his master, but rather that his master married him off to the maidservant, to the free woman. So similarly over here, the Gemara starts sort of saying the halacha that if an Eved puts on tefillin in the front of his master, which that's not the norm for a slave to put on tefillin, because that's what's called a mitzvah sasei shazman gram, it's a time-bound, sensitive mitzvah, because nighttime is not a time of putting on tefillin. So therefore, women are exempt, and avadim have the same halachas as women. So if he is putting on in front of his master, and his master is not saying anything, then yatzlecher, so he goes free. Obviously, he's a free man. On that, the Gemara asks Meisvei, we learned in the following brisa. Lava heimenu rabbi. If, let's say, a master borrows money from his own slave, and that's possible if, let's say, someone had given the slave money on the condition that his master doesn't get it, oisha osu rabbi apetrapa. So let's say his master makes his own slave a caretaker over all his properties, where if he didn't free him, it wouldn't be appropriate to have a slave taking care of all his assets. Or if the Eved, the slave, puts on tefillin in the front of his master, or if he reads three psukim in the shul in front of his master, which again is not appropriate for a slave to be having an aliyah in the shul, still says the Braisa, when the fact that he's silent, doesn't mean that he's free. It doesn't go free. It could be the master wasn't interested in protesting or whatever the reason is. But that contradicts the halacha of Reb Shimon Levi, where he said that if the Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, he goes free. So on that, the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, which is what we had referenced before, the halacha of Reb Shimon Levi was talking about not just that the slave puts on the tefillin in front of his master, it's kishur rabba hanich le tefillin. The master is wrapping the tefillin on his slave. That's obvious that the master had already freed him because he wouldn't have his slave fulfill the mitzvah, which is not appropriate for Avadim. So again, that's a siman, it's a sign that tells us that he's free and therefore he could go free. Nothing more continues with other halachas of shichur. Ki asur of dimu amr b'yechanan. He says, Misha amr b'shas misasai. If someone says, when he's dying, plainness shivchasi, that woman maidservant, al yushtab debolacha maisi. Don't make her work after I die. So says Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Koyfin is a yoshim, v'koyzim lo get shechur. So they coerce the inheritors of the father's assets, and they write for her a document of emancipation. She goes free because the father had said, don't work her anymore. Now Amr lofan of Rabbi Amir Ravasi, Rabbi Amir Ravasi asked on this. They said, Rebbe, our teacher, Iyata moide shebena avodim, don't you agree that her children are slaves? In other words, yes, although the father said, al yishtab duba, don't work her, but that's not a terminology of freeing, of emancipation, and neither is it a terminology of hefker. It's just that he's telling him, don't work her, don't make her work. But the children that come out of her from here on are definitely still slaves. So the question they were asking him is, why would you say halacha that you have to, that they forced the inheritors to free her, but then there's creating a loss of older children from here on, which the father didn't even want. That wasn't what he commanded. He just said, don't work her. That was the question they asked on Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yechanan. Now the Gemara actually tells us that, Ki asur Rav Shmuel by Yehuda om Rabbi Yechanan. He argues on Rav Dimi and he says, no, Rabbi Yechanan did not say as Rav Dimi had said. Rather, he said it as follows. He said, Misha om b'shas misasav. If someone says at the time that he's dying, Plainis shefchasi, that woman, my maidservant, Kairis ruch asasali. She did things that made me feel good. Yasala karis ruch, I want you to make her feel good also. So the halacha is, kaifin esayershin v'oisin l'karis ruch, so they force inheritors, and they have to do things to make her feel good. Which as Rashi explains, that if she doesn't feel good without being freed, then they would have to free her. On that is my time, what's the reason? Because mitzvah kaim divames, it's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the dying person. And since he said, I want you to put her at ease, if she's only at ease about being freed, then she has to be freed. But that's not like the version of Rav Dimi, who he said, Al yishtab duba, that even that would mean that there would be kaifin es ayershin, lichta ves aget. Now, Amar Meimar says, Hamafkir avdoi, if someone frees his slave, which goes back to discussions that we've had in previous stafim, he says, Oisei evet en leitakana. So that slave, there's nothing more that you could do for that slave, even with a shtar shikhar. He's stuck, he's forever not able to marry a shivcha because he's already freed, but neither can he marry Bas Yisrael because he'll never be able to become a full-fledged Jewish person. My time, what's the reason? Because as follows. Gufei loy konile, his body, the monetary aspect of the slave, is not acquired anymore by the master. He doesn't own him anymore. Isuruhu de ikigabe, the only thing he has in him is prohibitory law. Visura le motzi maknile. Now he can't give over the prohibitory law status of the slave to the slave himself to acquire it to him to let him go free, because only if he has the monetary thing, he has the whole package, can he give it over to the slave. Now and mumman is something that can be transferred. Isser, you can't transfer to the slave, and therefore the slave is stuck. If you went and you were mafkir him, he'll never be able to marry anyone else. Now on that the Gemara asks, only Ravash la Mema. Ravash asked Hamema on his aloha, he says, wait, but va'amar ula om Rabbi Yechanan. They both say, which is referencing halacha we mentioned in the previous daf, that whether if someone is maktish his eved, or whether someone is mafkir his eved, which is the case that you're discussing on Mamre, they both say, the slave goes free, and v'tzaruch get shichur, and that you need a document of emancipation. So that was the chiddush inherent in the halacha, not like Shmuel said you don't even need a get shichur. They say you need a get shichur, but the Gemara's question is, but one thing you see is that they need, meaning that you can use a get shichur. You're saying that even a get shichur is not going to help, he's going to be stuck forever. From these two amarim, you see clearly that you need one, but that it'll help. On that amalei, Mema answered him, no. Tzaruch ve'ein lo takana. When they say that such an eved needs a get shechur, because although you released him when you mafkir him, let's say, or the case of Makdish, where now you don't own him monetarily, but you still owe him in Isser, so that's why you need to get Shechar to allow him to marry a free Jewish woman. And that says a Maimer, that when they say Tzarech, doesn't mean that, but then you could. Yes, you need, but Vein Letakana, because the master can't be Makna, the Isser, to the Avid, and therefore he's stuck. That's one version. Ikedami, there, those that say a different version. That Oma Maimer, Hamafker Avdoi, starts off the same. If someone declares his Eved ownerless, Hefker, Umeis, so here it changes, adds another variable, and then the master dies, Oisoi Eved Ein Lektakana. Such a slave doesn't have any rectification. My Tem, what's the reason? So here it changed a little bit. Here, this second version would hold in the first version. It would be good that the Odin could be Makna even Isser. He could write a get shechur, like Rabbi Yechanan, like the simple translation of Rabbi Yechanan and Rav, that Tzorch get shechur. But here, when the master had died, here this version says that no, that such a slave wouldn't have a takana. My time, because gufei lo kani le, the body is not owned by the master anymore. Isuhu dika gabe. Now the only thing the master still has is the isur component. But now that he died, the isur lebre le myris, he can't bequeath. There's no Yerusha. In Isser, the only thing that a child inherits from his father is monetary things. And since the Eved doesn't have any monetary by the father, the only thing is Isser, he can't bequeath it, so now there's no one left anymore to be Meshachar, the Eved, to let him go free. Such an Eved is Ein Leitakana. Now, on this version, Omali Ravash La Meimer, Ravash Es Ta Meimer, but you have this halacha that we mentioned before, the Rav Dimi, when he came, he said over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if the father, as he was dying, said, Al Yishtabdupa, that don't work her, said, so what happens then is that, so there's no more monetary rights that the father has, and so too for his inheritance, because his mitzvah l'kayim d'vermes was not to work her. And what does Rav Dimi say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan? That they forced the inheritors to write her a get shechur. So you see that even though the only thing that's left after the father dies is Isser, still, we see that you could write a get shechur, which contradicts the halacha that you're saying, that when there's only Isser left, that the father can't be meirish to the children. So on that, Amemer answers, no, Rav Dimi tousi. Don't ask me from Rav Dimi's halacha. Rav Dimi was mistaken, as the Gemara had quoted before, which was Rabami and Ravasi's question, because they said, what are you talking about? How can you say the halacha is that we forced the Yershin to free her? The father seven never said to free her, just said don't work her. Why would we free her and then let all the children that could be avadim go free? So therefore, Amimor said to Rav Asher, don't ask me from Rav Dimi's halacha. But that Amalei, Rav Asher responded to Amimor, wait a second. My Tu'usa, what was the error that Rav Dimi had made? Deloy Amra, it's because the father didn't say B'loshin Shechur in the terminology of freeing. He only said, don't work her. So therefore they said, that's a mistake. Why would we free her if he didn't say to free her? But, says Rav Ashi, implicit in that error, Ha'amr B'loshin Shechur, from the question that the Gemara had asked, but it's obvious that had the father said it, I want you to be Meshachar Ha. In other words, if he would have said, Hariat Bas Chayrin, and then she would be free monetarily, and then he would die, Hachinami, then that's obvious that then Rabbasi would not have been bothered, and that is that they would agree to the halacha of Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that then we would force the Yerushim to be Meshachar. But that's a case of only having Isser left, and yet still we could force the Yerushim to give a get Shechur, even though there's only Isser, which that contradicts your halacha. So Malaysa Memer answered, Ano Kedrav Shmuel by Yehuda severely. He says, I don't hold that that's what Rabbi Yechanan said. And that's not even the discussion that Rabbami and Rabasi had to ask on that halacha. And the reason is because I hold like Rav Shmuel by Yehuda's version, that Rabbi Yechanan said something totally different. And that version had it that he didn't say, don't al yishtavdi ba, don't work her. He said, yas lekeres ruach, I want you to do what she likes. And therefore, saying that doesn't remove the monetary aspect of the Yerushim. They still own her. It's just that he made it dependent on what she wants. And therefore, yes, then we could force the Yerushim to have to be Meshachar, because says Amemer, in such a case, there's still a monetary aspect. But, says Amemer, in general, that's what I hold is the true halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rav Dimi had said it, if there would only be Isser left, then you cannot be Yerush that to the children, and therefore such an Eved, if the father was Mafker, again, which basically means to say that he took away the monetary aspect, whether if he was said al yishtabdi or if he said hefker, whatever the case was talking about. And then he dies, then the yarshin can't do anything for them because there's only Isser left, not like the version of Rav Dimi, and such an eved ain't like taikana. Now the Gemara continues with a related incident to these halachas. Hahu diskarta, there was a group of the avdi of slaves of Jewish people, dizdabin lo'evik achavim, that the masters, the Jewish masters, had sold them off to non-Jews, which as the Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Gimel Mabez, will teach us, that whoever sells his slave to non-Jews, the halacha is that the slave goes free. He's a free man. Now, but they weren't able to go free, obviously, because they were imprisoned by their non-Jewish masters. Now, however, over time, kolu marvasa basroi, their last masters had already passed on, who were the non-Jews, and now they were left without masters. So asu, so the slaves came lekamed Ravina in front of Ravina because they wanted to be permitted in Jewish women, because the halacha is that they're really free, because once their Jewish master sells them to an oivik achavim, they go free. Now they just had the non-Jewish masters. Now that the non-Jewish masters not around anymore, so permit us to marry non-Jewish women. Now Amalahu, he said to the slaves, zilu ahadju abnei marvasa kamay, go back and find your original Jewish masters and request of them that they should write for you a get shechur, a document of emancipation. And then you'll be able to marry Jewish women. So Amalei Rabban L'Ravina, so the rabbis that were there said to Ravina, but V'ama Amema said, which is what we just quoted before, Hamafker Avdei V'mes, if someone declares his slave ownerless, which is essentially the same type of case that we're having over here. Anytime that the master loses the monetary rights to the slave, either through Hefker, or here, where he sells his slave to non-Jews, which again, he loses the monetary aspect, umeis, and then he dies, so such a slave has no rectification. And the reason is, as we said before, because now that he's dead, the sons do not inherit the rights to the slaves, because there's only Isser here. So therefore here, the same thing is also when the Eved was sold to the non-Jews, the master lost the monetary rights to him, and the only thing that he has is Isser, and Isser is not something that you could bequeath to the sons. So now when the Avadim are going, their original masters, they died a long time ago, they're going to the inheritors of who would have been their Jewish masters. Problem is, those masters only have, they couldn't have inherited anything, because the only thing left was Isser, and that you can't bequeath, so they can't write a get shichur. So in Le Takana, why are you telling them to go to their original masters to be able to be free, to be married a Bas Yisrael? So Malui said to them, Ano, could Rav Dimi severely? The inverse of the previous discussion where Amemer had said, who was asked from Rav Dimi's version, he says, I don't hold the Rav Dimi's version, I hold the Rav Shmuel by Yehuda's version. Here in this discussion, Ravina says, don't ask me from the Halach of Amemer, which is going like Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, because I hold like Rav Dimi. That he said that even though when the master says, when he's dying, Al Yishtab the Ba, don't work this maidservant, and thus, when he says that, that him and his family lose the monetary rights in that maidservant, and still, he said, the halacha is that we force the inheritors to write a get shechur. So obviously, you see from Rav Dimi that he holds that you could bequeath even just Isser to allow the Yershim to write a get shechur. It says, and that's who I hold like, and that's why I told them to go to the Yershim of the original Jewish owners to have them write them a get shechur to allow them to marry B'nai Yisrael. Now, Amalei, the rabbi said to Ravina, but Rav Dimi Tusi, how are you going like the version of Rav Dimi? We already proved previously in the Gemara that Rav Dimi's version was an error. So Amalahu, he said to them, yes, my Tu'usa, but what was the error? The problem that the rabbis had with Rav Dimi's version was because how can you tell the inheritors to free because their father said, that's not a terminology of freeing. So good, we won't work her, but at least let the children be slaves. But, says Ravina, but if the father would have said it in the terminology of freeing, for example, if he would have said Hariat Bas Chayrin, Hachinami, then of course Rabbami Rabasi would have no problem, and that Rav Dimi's halacha would not have been in error, and that we would force the Yerushim according to everybody. And the reason being is because Isser is a Yerusha to bequeath to the children, and therefore I could go like Rav Dimi, just not in that component where he says that even Al Yishtabdiba is Lashon Shechur, fine. But here where it was done in the Eifin of Shechur, because when he sells his slaves to the non-Jews, it's a total Shechur, meaning it's a total freeing of monetary components, and therefore you could still be Mayrishit to the children, and the children could go ahead and free them with a Get Shechur, even though the only thing that's here is this. And the Gemara concludes, Halacha is like Ravina, that even just Isser itself is something that you could be Marish Labanov, and they, the Yerushim, could write a Get Shechar. Now, related discussion, the Gemara says, Hahu Avda de Beitre. There was a certain slave that was owned by two masters. They had 50-50 partnerships. Now, Kam Chad Minayu Beshechar Lepalge. One of the masters got up and he freed his half in the slave. He says, you know what, you don't have to serve me anymore, you're a free man. Now, Amr Idach, the other owner, said, Hashda Shami Bi Rabbanan. Now, the rabbis are going to hear about this situation. Umafsidu Le Minoy, and they're going to make me lose out my rights in this slave. Now, the reason for this is because a later Mishnah, Mem Aleph and Beis, will tell us that when there's someone that's what's called the Chatzi Ebed Chatzi Ben Chayrin, because one of the owners freed him, so he's half slave, half free person, we force the remaining owner to free him and make him into a free man. And he says, I don't want to lose my slave. So what he did was, Azal Akne Lebanoi Katan. He went and he gave over his shears in the slave to his minor son, who is not fit to be forced by Bezdin, because he doesn't have any das, to go ahead and free the slave. So now he'll be able to maintain that slave. Now, Shalcha Rav Yisib Reid Rav L'Kamid Rav Papa. So Rav Yisib, the son of Rav, sent this question in front of Rav Papa, what should we do? So Shalcha Le, he sent back to him, Kasher Asa Kenya Asa Loi, which is like the Halacha of Edom Zayman, meaning what he's purporting to do, we're going to do back to him. And like another pasuk, like similar as it says in Nevadia, Gemula Yashem Leberesha. What he's trying to do will come back on his own head. How so? Meaning he thinks he's going to escape us by giving over the shears to the son? Anan, Kimlon Biyanuka de Mekarva Daitel Gabazuzi. We know that children, they like money, they like coins. What we're going to do is as follows. Mekminin Leapotropis. We're going to appoint a caretaker, an apotropis, for that child who he gave over the shears of a slave to. Who that apotropis will select and make sure that the shears that this minor has now in the slave will get duly compensated for how much the value of that slave is in the market at this time. And the reason being is because the halacha is that, yes, although we force the master to free the slave, his half that he has in that slave, but the slave has to write the value of that and pay up that owner that's being forced to free him. So we'll appoint an apotropis for this minor as we continue on Talmud Beis. And then the slave will now shake Zuze. He'll shake like just a small amount of coins for the child, and therefore we won't have to force the child, because actually he's going to be freeing his slave from his own, because it's like, you get these coins if you sell us the slave. He's like, yeah, for sure, I'm going to do it right away, give me those coins. And then the child will write a get shechar for this half of the slave. And he says, we'll get the father back, because here, we won't even have to force. The child will do it on his own, and he's the rightful owner. Now, however, as Rashi explains, without the option of shaking the coins, that's not possible. And the reason being is because, as we've said before, you can't force a minor. And that's why the father actually had acquired it to his son. Now, the apotropis wouldn't be able to go ahead and free the slave that he's now overseeing of this minor's properties, and neither to create a liability for the orphan, or in this case, this minor, as the Gemara tells us later on in Hanizak and Dafnan Bezim at Aleph. So therefore you have to have the consent of the child so he can get there very easily. Now, moreover, Rashi says, this minor has to be told by that he reached a certain age where his business dealings are valid halachically regarding metatlin, movable products, whereas the Mishnah tells us later on, Dafnan Tesim at Aleph, hapu'utais, the young children, their sales and their purchases are valid regarding movable items when they come to a certain age that they understand, like age 7, there's a certain age when they understand what's going on, so it's a valid sale. Now, but moreover, we have to also appoint an apotropis to make sure that, okay, we don't want the child to be taken advantage of, we don't want for a few coins that he loses his shears, which are rightfully his, were given to him by his father. So additionally, the few coins he'll get, but he'll get the real amount through his apotropis, and therefore he said that, you know, the father thought he was going to get away with it. We find a halachic way to get the slave, his half freed, even though it's owned by a child. Taramban, we learn the Brice again, continue on these halachas of Shechar. Ha'imer Asisi plainly Avdi Ben Chayrin. If the master says that I made this slave into a free man, or he says, Asu Ben Chayrin, he was made into a free man, or Harehu Ben Chayrin, he is a free man, if he uses any one of these terminologies, Harehu Ben Chayrin, so he's a free man. But if he says, Asenu Ben Chayrin, I will make him a free man, so then we have a machlekes. Rebbe Aimer Kana. Rebbe says that the slave has acquired himself, because the understanding of the terminology of I will make him into a free man means with this shichur that I'm giving him now, because as the Gemara will shortly explain, that these are not words that are said. They're actually words that are written in the document, and this is the document that's being given over to the slave, which in the document it says, E'esenu ben chayrin. So Rebbe understands, that means to say, I will, with this document that I'm giving him, make him a free man, and therefore when he gets it, he becomes a free man. However, the Chacham argue, they say that no, he does not acquire himself, because this is just a promise. He's saying, he's giving over a document and says, I will make you into a free man, which is like a note saying that, okay, one day, with a different document, I will make you into a free man, but not yet. Because if it's written that you are free, and he gives it to him, so then it's free. But if he writes him a piece of paper and says, you know, passing notes, and he says, I will make you a free man, and he gives it to him, that doesn't mean now, it means one day, hopefully, I will make you a free man. Now, as we just mentioned before, Rabbi Yechon, he qualifies, he says, V'kulan, all these ha'imers that it says, that it's when it says the master says that I made him or I'm making him a free man, it's not that he says it, it's actually that he writes any one of these terminologies, bishtar, in a document, and it's this document with this writing that he gives over to him. But if he would just say these words, then of course that wouldn't make the slave into a free man, and he wouldn't lose any monetary rights in that slave, and he could retract if he never went yet and actually made an acquisition, like of chalipin, based on those words, which then actually the slave would acquire himself, as it is with monetary, with money transfers, as the Gemara said previously on Tesma Beis, by the case of Shakal Kumsa and the Shadabe, he took his head and he threw it to her, or if he would use in the halacha a dying person, the Shchimera, within his words are Kiksub or Kumsum Dami, then it's like it's already done, then of course it would work, but here there was just saying without making a kinyan, of course not going to work. Here where it's working in these cases, and one that's a machlaik is where he wrote in the document and gave over those words. That's the halacha that we're talking about. A similar type of halacha, just here we're talking about Eved, and here we're going to talk about a field. Tanabon Linda Brysa. Oimer Nasati saw the plainness laplani. If someone says that I gave that field to that person, or Nisun laplani, it is given to that person, or Harehi Shaloi, or it's his. So it's his. Etnenu laplin, but if it says, I will give it to that person, oh, then we have a machlaikis. Remei or mekaina, he says, so the person has acquired it. V'chacham am leikon, they say he has not acquired it. And again, Rabbi Yechon, he explains, v'kul and b'shtar, all these terminologies that we're discussing, they were written in the document, because again, if he was just said it, then the person would not acquire, even if he says, oh, I gave it to this person, it doesn't make a difference. The words would not make it as an acquisition to that person. If he writes Harei Shalai and he gives him that document, that's then an acquisition through the document of acquiring that field. And again, we have a machlekes. If he writes, I will give, if that means with this document right now or in some future time, and therefore he has not been kaina. Tanya Rabban, Rilin Abraisa, a similar type of halachas. Ha'imer is sisi plainly avdi b'charen. Again, which we said that terminology. If someone says, I have made that person, my slave, into a free man, which, as we said before, similarly, that should work. But the slave says, that's not true. He has not made me into a free man. So, says the Braisa, we're concerned that maybe the master did merit a document of emancipation to the slave, ali de acher, through someone else. In other words, he tells that other person, I want you to merit this get shichur for that slave to be freed, and that's what's known as a schus. It's a merit for a slave to be freed. No one wants to be at all a slave. And the halach is that zochen lo'ilad m'shleib b'fondav. A person can merit something for somebody else without him knowing about it, because it's a total merit. And that's what freeing is. And therefore, although the slave says he didn't free me, we have to be concerned that maybe he was freed, because maybe he had a freedom through some other avenue. Now, however, says the Braisa, let's say kasavti b'nesati loy. Let's say the master says, no, I wrote a get shichur and I gave it to him. And he says, loy kosavli, v'loy nosanli, he did not write for me, he did not give it to me. Then says the Gemara, haydas baldin, the admission of the person himself, meaning of the Eved, is kamei adim dami, is like 100 witnesses. Of course, then we believe him, because he's saying that I was never, he's the one that's the recipient of the gift, of the freeing. If he says, I never got it, then we believe him, and he can't be forced to say that it was, that he did receive it, when he's saying that he didn't. So to Ho'im and Asati, so the plainness of the plainness. If someone says, I gave that field to that person, V'oimer loy nasan lein. He says, it's not true. He did not give it to me. Cheshina and Shem ezikulei al de'achar. So then, and as we said in the previous halacha, since he didn't say that he gave it through him, but rather to him, it could be he merited it to him through someone else, which is a zechus, and you could do that shleibah fun of. But if the person, the giver, says, kesavti b'nesati loy, I wrote it and I gave it to him, v'oimer, and he says, loy kasa b'loy nasan, it's not true. He didn't write and didn't give to me. The admission of the person himself is like 100 witnesses. And since he says, I did not receive it, so he's believed. And therefore, the giver could go back and retract if he wants to and take back the field and take back the slave. Because we say that he was mistaken and that he thought that the person had received it from him. But since the person is saying, I didn't receive it, we believe the recipient. Now the Gemara asks, Mi oichel peres? Question is regarding this case of the field, who eats the peres on the field? So we have a machlekes. Rav Chisda Amar Noisin Eichel Peres, he says the giver eats the produce. V'Rabba Amar, he says Mishal Shalin Esa Peres. What we do is that we put the Peres into what's called a Shlish, a third party, and he holds on to it until Eliyahu HaNavi comes, because we don't really know whose is it. Because he claims he gave it to him, and he says, I didn't get it. Now the Gemara actually explains V'Lei Pligi. They're actually not arguing, and this is based on the halacha that we just said before. Ha Be'Abba. In other words, if the one case is talking about the father himself. In other words, if the one who supposedly, allegedly received the gift himself is still alive, and he says, it's not true, he didn't give me this field, he is believed, as we said before. So therefore, who eats the peris? It's the giver who eats the peris, because we believe the recipient, and therefore it's not his. So of course the noisin could still eat the peris. But, ha bebra. Regarding Rabbah, who said Mishalshin es haperes, was talking about the son. In other words, where the alleged recipient already died. And his son says, it's not true, this person did not give my father this field. Then is where, as Rabbah said, Mishalshin. You give it to a third party. Because maybe there are going to come witnesses that actually will testify that his father did receive it, and just the son didn't know about it. And therefore, but since he's claiming that it's not his, so he doesn't take it. And since the giver's saying that he did give it, so we don't know. So therefore, the payers are going to be beyond shlish, because we don't really know the truth. But again, if the father himself says, then yeah, he's going to be believed in spite of the fact that the giver is saying that he did give it to him. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, and Mishnah is Toma Tikkun Olam, and specifically that about Avadim, about slaves. So the Mishnah tells us, Eved she'asu rabbi apoytiki lachem, regarding a slave that was made an apoytiki by his master to other people, which the word apoytiki is from the words apoy tehei koi, which is that if from here will be your payment. In other words, the borrower, who's the master of the slave, tells to the lender, says, look, if I don't pay back my debt that I owe you from somewhere else, you can always collect from this slave. He's here, and wherever he's going to be, you'll be able to collect. His value is worth the amount of the loan. But then v'shichroi, then he frees him, which Gemara will explain. Actually, it's a machlekes amirom in the total different interpretations of what the halacha, the Mishnah, is saying. Who is it that freed him? But that's what the Mishnah says. And then he freed him. So says the Mishnah, shuras adin, according to the basic halacha, einu eved chayiv klum. The slave is not liable for the fact that his master freed him. Ella, but however, they tikkun ha'olam, because of the rectification of the world, koyven is rabbi, they force his master, doesn't say which master, they say it forces master, ba'isa oisa bechayrin, and he makes him into a free man, v'koysev shtar al damav, and then he writes a document for the value of the slave himself. Shem b'gam lilam, he argues, and he says, no, in the case of el mashachar, the only one that writes it is the one who frees him. So it's ambiguous, it's exactly how to translate the Mishnah, and there's going to be Machlekes Amiram, which in our daf we're going to quote one of those interpretations of what is the Mishnah saying. So again, as we quoted from the Mishnah, it said, Eved she'asa rabbi apoytiki v'shichrei. So that's understood. We know that there's a slave that his master had made him into apoytiki, that's his original owner, who said that to the lender that, okay, if I don't pay back, he could always collect from this slave. And then it says v'shichrei. Then he was freed. So the question is, mishichrei, who freed him? So I'm a Rav. So Rav has the first interpretation of the Mishnah. And he says as follows. And he explains the different details of the Mishnah to explain what the Mishnah is saying. He says, it was Rabbi Rishon. His original master, the one who had borrowed from another person, after designating the slave as an apoytiki, he then went ahead, and although the slave is supposed to be a collectible item for the lender, he then goes and frees him. Now, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. Shur Sadin in Evet Chayiv Klum. According to the basic halacha, the slave is not liable anything to who? L'rabbi Sheni. This is how Rav is interpreting it. He's really not responsible for the second master. In other words, for the one to the lender that was supposed to be able to collect from him. And the reason being is because his body was not ever acquired by that lender. Rather, he was just mishubed. He was collateral. There was an indebtedness of the slave to that second person. But when this first master comes and is meshacher him, so that actually precludes and excludes from that shibud of that second person. So therefore, the slave doesn't owe anything when he's freed by his first master to that other master, because he was never really his master. He was just meshubed. Kedirav, like Rava says, where the Amar Rava says, hektish. Says, if let's say someone makes his ox an apaitiki, which to his lender he says that, look, if I don't pay back, you can collect from this ox. And then he takes the ox and he's makdish it. He says that it's sanctified, a physical sanctity to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Whereas Rashi points that it has to be Kedushas Haguf, because actually just a monetary sanctity, let's say to the Bedek Abayis, would not remove it from the Shibud that it has from the lender. As the Mishnah tells in Masechtas Erechin, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, that actually if it's just Kedushas Damim, you could just add one dinner and then redeem it, and then he would go ahead and get it. So it's only Kedushas Haguf. Or let's say a case of Chametz, which is, let's say if a non-Jew lends a Jew money. And then the Jew says, look, if I default, you could always collect from these bread products that I have over here, which were not kept in the property of the non-Jew, was kept by the Jew. So the halacha is that the Isser of Chametz, which makes all the Jews' Chametz forbidden to Hano once Pesach comes, removes and precludes the Shibur of the non-Jew. Because once it's Pesach time, then it's considered Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach, which is forbidden to have Hano. That Isser is going to do the same as Veshichur. Let's say in the case that we're discussing, where he has an Eved that he made as an apaytiki to someone else, and then he frees him. All these three cases are mafki in midei shibud. They exclude from the shibud. They remove it because it's not owned by the non-Jew. It's not owned by the person that you owe money to. And therefore, when it becomes chametz, or when you makdash it, or when you meshacher, it removes from that shibud and becomes forbidden. It doesn't go to that person that it was indebted to. So therefore, as the Mishnah says, really the slave should not owe anything to that second master, because you never really owned me. My first master always owned me, and he freed me. Ela b'mei tikkun olam. That's the Mishnah says, but because of tikkun olam, what's the tikkun olam? Shema yimtzu'en b'shog. Maybe that second guy, who was always looking at this slave, says, I want this slave. I know this borrower is not going to be able to pay me back, and I'm going to be able to go ahead and collect from this slave. Now, maybe one day he's going to find him in the marketplace, as we continue on top of Memal v'Memal, the Yoimeloi, I'm the Yat, and he say, you're my slave. Because, you know, you were mishubit to me. Now, the master went and was mishachir, but he's going to scream at him and say, you're my slave. And everyone's going to be looking, and they're going to start rumors about his sons, that he's really, they're sons of a slave, and they're not Jewish people, and so on. So because of that concern, Kaifinus Rabbi Sheni, again, this is according to the interpretation of Rav, so who do we force? We force the second master, which was the one that had the shibud on the slave, the Oisa Oisa Ben Char, and he also, I mean, the first master, of course, made him a free person. He was ready to meshachar him. We force the second master to make him into a free man, because we say we don't want him to have any claims later on, say, you're my slave, and spread rumors about his sons. Then when the Mishnah says, V'kosev Evet Shtar Al Damav, and then this that we're forcing the second master to free him, to lose the money that he had lent to the borrower, that's where we have the slave right a document of indebtedness for his own value to the second master to say, don't worry, now that I'm free, I'll be able to work, I'll pay you the value that I'm worth, which really you should have gotten me because I was a meshubet to you, which actually, me'ikra halacha, I don't have to, but because of tikkun olam, that's why we instituted that the eved will pay that money to the second person, to the malva, to the lender that he was meshubet to. And that was Reb Shmuel Lil Omer. He argued and he says, no, eino eved kaisev. The slave doesn't have the right to compensate the second master because of tikkun olam. El meshachar kaisav. His first master who had freed him, he has to write a document of indebtedness to his creditor for the value of the slave because it was his fault. He's the one that damaged the indebtedness, the shibud, by freeing the slave. So he has to compensate the second master because of tikkun olam. To which the Gemara explains b'may kamifli, what is the principle that Shimon Gamliel and the Chum argue about? It's b'mazik shibud shechaver kamifli. They argue regarding halacha about someone who damages, not someone else's property per se, but something that was meshubit to him, where it was indebted to him. So it's not really his, it's someone else's, but it was indebted to him, and then someone else comes and damages that product. The Marsavar Chayiv, Rabbi Shmuel holds that when you mazik, when you damage, even just the shibud of someone else, you're liable to that other person, because although it wasn't his yet, but it was ultimately going to be his, and that's the same case over here. That's why he holds the Mishachar has the right, because he was mazik the shibud shel chaver by freeing the slave. Where Marsavar Pater, Tanakama holds that he's exempt. So therefore, the Mishachar, the first master, doesn't owe anything. I was mazik shibud shel chaver, not chayiv. So therefore, we can't force him. But the one who's going to have the problems down the road is going to be the Eved. So when they took an oil and we have him rate his own value to the second master, and that's how we have him go free. And at Manami, similarly, we learned the same idea that Hamazik Shibud Shachaver, if someone damages the Shibud, what's indebted to him, of someone else, then Banu L'Machlekes or B'Shimim Gamliel Rabban, we come to the Machlekes. In our Mishnah, again, which the way we just interpreted the Mishnah, is this same idea about Big Mazik Shibud Shachaver is are you chayiv, and then the Mishach would have to write, like Hashem Lil said, or are you exempt, and therefore the only one that's going to have to write is the Eved himself, because Tikkun Olam is actually for him, that they not Maitilaz, Albanov, when the master, when the second person, this Malva, sees him later on in the marketplace.